Here.
Clausen.
Here.
Gray.
Yes.
Sanford.
Here.
Buxton.
Here.
Wolf.
Here.
All right. Quick prayer. Father, thank you for this time that we are together here. We just pray that you would just bless us with your grace and your mercy. And once again, as we conduct the business of the city, that you give us your wisdom from above. In your name we pray. Amen. Say the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. So we got the roll call. Sorry. Noting for everybody, this is a special meeting, and we are not allowed to add anything to the agenda. So the agenda is as is. So can I get an acceptance on that? Mr. Baltzell?
I'll make a motion.
And Mr. Clausen?
I'll second.
Baltzell?
Yes.
Clausen?
Yes.
Gray?
Yes.
Fleck?
Yes.
Buxton?
Yes.
Sanford?
Yes.
Wolf?
Yes.
All right, now we're going to open it up to audience communications relative to the subjects of this meeting. Do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, come on up. Just give us your name and address for the record, please, and stand at the mic there.
Yeah, I'll be out of town next Monday, so I figured I'd come tonight in case I could. I'm Corey Agler, 609 Echo Street. For those of you who don't know me, I was a firefighter paramedic here for a little over 3 years, left back in July. So I know there's been, over the last several months, a bunch of, you know, numerous people that have come up here, talked about the fire department, police department. I feel like we're beating a dead horse at this point. So that's not my intention tonight. I just want to kind of have a conversation about, like, where we're at and what we can do. Because I feel like, you know, you guys are tired of hearing people complain. I'm, you know, in the same boat there. I'm more willing to bring solutions to the table. So, first of all, with the leadership training that we did, has that been completed? Where's that at? Do we know?
Not yet, because they are doing it pro bono. Avanulo is working on it, and he's been back and forth between California, Texas, and here. But we're continuing. The next phase should start stepping down into the departments.
Okay, so do we know, like, when that's going to continue to move forward, or is it just...
No, I can't tell you that at this point.
Okay, and then exit interviews for employees who have left. So I had an exit interview, but I've talked to several people who did not have exit interviews. So of the firefighters and police officers who left, how many of those had exit interviews? And did those exit interviews get discussed with administration or department heads at all? That might be more directed to you, Michael.
So I'd say maybe whenever council mentioned, like, hey, are we doing any exit interviews? And, you know, ever since then is when we started. I think you might have been the only firefighter who has left since then.
So even the ones who left after me did not have?
Well, whoever left after you, then yeah, we did exit interviews with them as well.
Okay. So were those discussed with council, or were they discussed with any administration, any department heads?
Admin, of course, yes.
Okay. And were there any, like, findings out of that? Was there any adjustments made based on the exit interviews at all?
Some minor ones. Certainly more consideration, you know, stuff like that, especially when if you start to see a pattern.
The next thing I was kind of asking about, this might be more directed towards you again, Mr. Mayor, but the fire department feasibility study, I know that previously you said we were still waiting on the results. Do we have a timeline on any of that?
I believe the chief is meeting with the consultant, I want to say December 16th. I knew it was coming up, December 16th, so it is being finalized, and he does meet with them then.
Next Monday, I believe?
Yes, I believe it's next Monday. Yeah, that's right, on the 16th.
Yeah, so probably won't have, we won't have any. Answers, excuse me, next Monday, probably not.
Not answers per se, but the feasibility that he'll be sitting down with him first to look at it, and then after that point, we can start doing the analysis of how we're going to move it. And for funding, but we don't know what he's proposing and what we're looking at as far as cost.
Okay. My next thing, I'll try to be brief here so you guys can get in and get out. The fire department heating situation, are we all aware that the fire department does not have heat?
We are aware of that. We've passed through. The fire chief is responsible for the building, so he was able to finally get the quotes. That's been signed off on, and I believe Ray's Refrigeration, not that it's refrigeration, just the company,
yeah. But
he's coming in to do the heat. I wasn't aware of it until it came up later, but I know the fire chief was working on it, but a purchase order's been cut for them to do the work.
So my issue with that is we've known this is an issue, correct? The heat?
We did not.
Everybody?
No. We did not.
No.
So we have known that for a while. This was going to be an issue going forward. That was my understanding.
Yeah, the fire chief's been handling this project. So we can only go as fast as he gets quotes and that around.
I understand that, but at the same time, like, he can't do everything. So I feel like it's kind of expecting a lot out of Joel to not only manage a fire department, but also deal with building repairs that is kind of on the city, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it is the fire chief's job. It's always been the fire chief's job to maintain City Hall.
But so, was there any discussions with him about, like, you know, a plan moving forward to fix that? Because, I mean, we've known for months before winter that the boiler was an issue. I mean, it was an issue last year, and I know it's been brought up.
Yeah, we've worked off Joel's timeline. When he asked for help, we gave him the help he needed. Prior to that, he had it taken care of. So,
yeah, and there's been no discussion in budgetary stuff about heat. Nothing was ever said. So, and that's always with the chief.
Okay, so if in terms of council, if you guys weren't aware of that, like, I get it. There's a lot of communication gap, and I think with the administration audits, that was one of the biggest complaints was the communication gap there. So if that's truly what happened, I mean, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, but I would encourage you to reach out to Joel. And, you know, it sounds like at this point it's been discussed and kind of finalized and it's been bid out and all that. I get that. But I do think it's kind of silly that it had to wait until, you know, it's 20 degrees and they don't have heat at all. So late contracting is coming, you know, to turn it on Monday through Friday when the courts are working upstairs. But over the weekend, when it's 30 degrees outside, the fire department just didn't have heat. So if you walk over there right now, they have portable heaters in every room to keep it warm, and they're still walking around in winter coats, sock hats. I mean, I think that's a huge issue. And I know you guys are a big proponent of the lateral transfers, but how are we going to attract a lateral transfer that's trained, you know, somebody that's incredibly good at their job and a huge resource that the city needs now? You know, how are we going to attract them to come over if, you know, we can't even keep a station heated? Like, you see where I'm coming from, right? So I would encourage you guys, you know, especially as a council, regardless of, you know, if there is a gap between administration and Joel and council, however that works, I don't really care. But I do think I would encourage you guys to reach out and try to, you know, bridge that gap a little bit to close that, you know, close the communication and figure something out. Because I just, you know, it's crazy to me that it takes that long to get something done.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment on that myself. As a past public works superintendent for 18 years in Salina, and I took care of the public work facility, I never brought to council when we had to replace our heating system in our building. As a department head, I took care of that. If I knew there was problems with it, I'm the one that went and got the quotes, make sure that it was done, took it to the administration, and asked them to, you know, here's what we need, this is what I recommend, and then the administration would approve it. So I'm not sure where Joel's at. If Joel knew it last year, did he go to the administration in the spring saying, hey, we need to get this fixed in the spring? None of us on council know that. I never brought anything to council as a department head. I just took care of it myself and got all my quotes in. So I'm not sure if Joel dropped the ball back, and I'm not going to throw Joel under the bus, but did he drop the ball last spring knowing that there's heat problems? Did he take it to the administration in the springtime so they could get that stuff repaired before winter? I don't know.
I mean, neither do I. I don't have that specific answer for you. But knowing Joel, I have a real hard time believing that, you know, he just dropped the ball on this and didn't take care of anything until now.
We actually found out from the contractors that were bidding on the project, that they were bidding on the project.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it was blatantly obvious that there was issues before then. So we can agree to disagree on that. My last point here, I feel like, you know, for the last several years, I would even say that, you know, as a city, we've been incredibly reactive instead of proactive. So last meeting, kind of towards the end, you know, you talked about how we've had this money, you know, for all these years. We didn't just find this money. It's always been there. We just found a way to use it. So why did we wait until almost 40 years of fire service experience walked out the door before we found a way to fund, you know, these departments? And I don't know you know, I'm not educated on PD and, you know, how many guys you've lost or what, you know, if that was due to retirements or otherwise. But not even counting retirements, the fire department had almost 40 years of fire service experience walk out the door for other jobs. You know, I think it's silly that we're up here, you know, trying to spike the football and high five and say how good of a job we did by finding a way to fund these departments after we've lost all these guys. I mean, I would encourage you guys to, you know what, go over there and spend a day there, bring home a pager, and every time that pager goes off, go back up there, because there's only, what, 12 of them over there now, full-time, I believe? Is that right?
I believe 13.
13?
Am I wrong? I think 13.
I don't know offhand, but, I mean, it was a lot when there was 15, well, 16, if you count the chief. It was a lot. And now that, you know, they're short-staffed and the run volume continues to go up, it's getting even worse. So I don't think it's, you know, whatever they're asking for, I don't think is unreasonable whatsoever, you know, to try to maintain somewhat of a life outside of work. And I would just, you know, I would encourage you guys to start being more proactive rather than reactive, I guess is what I'm getting down to. Because, you know, I'm not saying that I'm God's greatest gift and I'm, you know, a huge loss to the department. But when you put five or six of us together and we all walk out the door, I mean, that's a big deal. So, I mean, that's about all I have. If any of you guys want to discuss things with me further, you know, I'm more than willing to talk solutions. I'm easy to get a hold of. I'm sure you have my phone number on record, and I'd be more than happy to talk to any of you guys. So,
yeah, Corey, the money we found would be future money, not existing money. So it's what we have access to for future to add people to the department.
Correct, but we've had that 0.5% money, you know, since that levy's been in place.
Right.
Which could have been used for the last however many years the levy's been in place.
Right, and we've got approval from the state auditor to go back to use some of that money to fulfill the 1% that's normal there, so we can bring that money in and do that. So we have to do it as a future position as a city. So we did find that we had to get approval from the state to be able to do that.
I get that, but how much money of that 0.5% was used for streets? I mean, a good portion, right?
Yeah, a good portion was used for equipment for fire and police too.
But it also could have been used for salary.
No, absolutely not.
Cannot.
That is the false rumor that keeps going around, that some people have brought this up many times.
So is salary not an operating?
Absolutely not. When we passed this in 2010, wages were not going to be tied. Permanent wages were not going to be tied to a temporary tax, which is foolish, to be honest. You can't tie a permanent wage to a temporary tax that the voters have to vote on every 7 years.
Okay.
And the council at the time, and I was in every executive session, and the only other person that was Myron on this current council. So not everybody here can say that they were there, but we were there. We were in executive sessions. We discussed this. We know that it was never – what we were looking at was basically a million point whatever for a new ladder truck, which, you know, we had to get. Insurance costs the entire county were going to go up if we did not. So that was something we had to have. We had a pumper tanker next. We had a grass truck next. We had a lot of big ticket items. So the initial plan was simply a fire levy or budget or 0.5%. The police was something that we also added to it as well, because we thought we didn't want to limit ourselves. If you go back and look at the original notes, it's not exhaustive. I understand that. There's not a council member that would even say that we actually tied wages to it. It was never meant for wages.
Okay, so fair enough. But how long has the fire department been asking for staffing and negotiations?
Right. But the easy solution that we keep hearing is, well, just use the 0.5%. Then that makes us liars to the people. And we live in a representative republic, and the people are the ones every 7 years that give us a report card. And I think you agree we need that the next 7 years. We're going to need that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially for a fire department, if we have to build onto the building, right? We're going to need, that's going to be a funding source.
And I mean, I have no complaints with the equipment, because the equipment we have is, I mean, I wouldn't say it's, you know, everything is top notch, but it's pretty good.
It's pretty, especially, right. And I hear the same thing from the police department. I did a ride along with them, that they have good equipment.
I mean, especially right. For the size of a city we are, that amount of equipment, number one, is kind of wild, but also the quality is incredible. So, I mean, I appreciate that, and I think you guys have done a good job there,
mm-hmm.
But if we had been asking for staffing for, you know, what, probably the last three negotiations, so a rough time frame of 9 to 10 years, like, why was that not addressed until now?
Some of the staffing problems are due to people leaving.
Correct.
Okay.
The writing was on the wall.
Understand. Some of it was due to that, but again, the quick fix everybody wants is to use the 0.5% for wages. And that would open us up. And I believe that would open us up to a voter, I don't know what would be a voter-led initiative could possibly happen. Biggest thing is that we know, we told the people what it was for, mostly for capital expenses and operating expenses, et cetera. I know people can interpret operating expenses to be wages. That is not what the council meant in 2010. It's never what it was for. They never meant it that way, never stated it that way. And then what was brought up, and very publicly on social media, is that, well, that staffing, one of the reasons why we wanted to do this in 2010 was to keep staffing levels, maintain staffing levels. And I want to say it the way that we knew it back then. It was going to indirectly impact the staffing levels, because if you take the 1% money, and out of that 1%, we no longer have to take and pay for fire trucks, hoses, police cars, or anything as far as operating expense or capital equipment, that can be paid for in the 0.5%. It takes the burden off the 1%, the general fund, which fully is what funds the police and fire department and the courts. So that's how it was going to keep the staffing levels or maintain staffing levels, by taking pressure off, which it did. But with insurance costs going up and wage increase, et cetera, that it's been outpacing what the city is able to bring in and grow every single year. I think we grow 2 to 2.5% roughly per year. But just this year alone, we're looking at just 14% almost in just the insurance costs. And so if that keeps gapping, we have a problem. And that's what we're looking at. And that's sitting on this side of the table, the problem that we have. It's not that we don't think you guys deserve staffing levels. And we certainly are sympathetic to the fact that a lot of runs and a lot of callbacks, everybody here has heard that. And we agree, and we're trying to do what we can on that. But touching that 0.5% would make past councils and some current people liars to the word that we had sworn to, that we would not use it for wages. So if that's a non-starter for me, and it has nothing to do with what I believe you guys deserve, the fire department or the police department whatsoever. I just think that's a non-starter. Right? That doesn't work, because that's not what the people were told. And so for me, we can't go there.
But, I mean, so again, and I don't envy your position at all. Like, I think, you know, the kind of back and forth, almost like, you know, angry interactions that have been had over the last several months, like, I don't think that solves anything. And I truly do. Like, I want to find solutions. So I don't envy your position at all. But again, you know, if that was back in 2010, you said, that first got passed?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've known, it's been there for 14 years, but we've still known that staffing has been an issue. So, like, why was that not addressed until now?
It's one of those things that we have addressed somewhat, but there has not been a silver bullet to fix that. That's for sure. Do you think what we just had passed in the county will help, especially in the fire and EMT department? That'll help reduce some of that, because we're going to get how many positions out of that?
Three. They've already been, Joel's been authorized to go three, but I think some of the things that a lot of folks often forget is the EMS is a county agency. It's not a city agency. So your callbacks and runs are paramedic, not fire. You have a little over a call a day for an emergency. That isn't your issue. It's the paramedic side of it.
Correct.
And so, and I get that. And so with the county doing the EMS levy, it does allow us, it's roughly $300,000 a year. We've topped that off to hire three more people to have six a shift instead of five a shift, to be able to get them there. But that's one of the challenges, is because of the paramedic side of it. Because the runs, as you know, they're only going up. So we continue to look at that, working with the county. How do we fix this? Working with the commissioners, and this is the first step, along with them hiring some in the county to try to help with that, to alleviate this callback issue.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess, and I'll quit arguing about it, because we're kind of beating a dead horse at this point.
Sorry.
But, you know, we've had the same staffing since, what, 74 or something like that, roughly? In the 70s, roughly. I don't know an exact year, so don't quote me. But, you know, we've been at the five-man staffing per shift since then. And so we've went up, what, four times, roughly, you know?
Probably.
Roughly four times. The call volume. So, I mean, it's been an issue for a while. And that's the root of the issue for me is, you know, we're so reactive rather than proactive. You know, I feel like this issue could have been prevented 10, 15 years ago. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people leave. But
yeah.
I definitely think staffing was...
So, and I want to say, Cor, I don't disagree with you at all.
And I think everybody here is sympathetic to the fact that the staffing levels and the callbacks are a big issue. We've heard that. We agree. But what's your solution? I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Yeah. I mean,
what is the solution? And I know that on this side of the table, we have to figure that out. I get that. And I don't think it's as easy as everybody thinks.
Yeah. And I mean, that's where I'm dead serious. Like, I'm easy to get a hold of. Give me a call. Like, I am willing to sit down and try to figure out solutions because I've been on that side of it. And mm-hmm. I understand the frustrations and I understand how, you know, there's this perceived, you know, whether it's reality or not, there's this perceived communication gap between council and administration and us.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that is, like, I'm willing to sit down and try to figure out how to fix it. But I feel like it's, you know, we're kind of at the end of the road of, like, do we go ahead and try to solve this problem or do we keep beating a dead horse and coming up here to council meetings and talking about it and everything else? So,
yeah, Mr. Baltzell, followed by Mr. Buxton.
Yeah, I'll just say that, you know, it's only been the last year that I've been on council that there's people coming up expressing a need for increased staffing. It's not like you mentioned 14 years ago.
Well, I mean,
I've been on council for 8 years. We haven't had people come up.
No. During contract negotiations, I know that staffing has been brought up.
But staffing's not part of the contract.
So I understand that.
It's never been brought up as a proposal to increase people.
I understand that it's not a contract issue necessarily because council would have to hire three more people if we're going to go to six-man shifts. But at the end of the day, like, contract negotiations is when we have that opportunity to sit down with administration and discuss what we need. And I can promise you that staffing has been brought up, unless all of my friends are lying to me, which I feel like is pretty unlikely.
Well, I know from council perspective, it's been the last year.
Yeah.
And we also went through contract negotiations, so wages went up significantly, which we got to factor into budgets.
Yeah.
And I'll also say
money's not the reason I left.
We're not going to go back to where we don't fund streets at all. So streets have to be funded. I mean, it's irresponsible to not fund streets. So it's a balance of trying to get the staffing, pay the wages, and continue to maintain the streets like we need to. That's what the challenge is. And on top of that, it's a challenge across the country right now just to find people, period. Really, in any industry that you're in, finding employees for
which is why it's even a bigger deal that we have people leaving.
Right.
Because, you know, we can't just, there's other departments that I could go to right now and start off making six figures. And I don't expect this council to ever pass something in which that would be a remote possibility.
It can't happen. We can't compete with that.
I don't expect that. And I don't think anybody across the street expects that either.
You could.
But that's where
overtime,
we need to maintain.
Right? You could with overtime.
Oh,
I mean, if you're not willing to work, then go.
You have to go. Six figures this year.
Yeah,
several guys will. Right.
That's not the issue here. It's the retention that's the issue, which is my point there. You know, with you saying we have people leaving, it's a nationwide issue that we can't get new people. Like, you know, that's where we really got to try hard to maintain our staffing, and I feel like that's where, you know, we dropped the ball big time.
And I feel like we agree with that statement that we want to help fix the problem. We do, but again. Boiler, first time I heard about tonight. Just in a reality, okay? And we can't just, all right, well, let's hire three more guys.
And I get that.
On this side of the table, we have to figure out how we're going to pay for that.
Yeah.
And it's not just salary. It's insurance, it's pension, it's the whole thing. And that's a lot that we can't just do. You know, we have a pool of money. And that pool of money runs out. We don't have a tree to go pick more money off. And I know you know that. But
yeah.
So it's a balancing act. Mr. Buck, I'm going to get you in there. Anybody else? Hey, go ahead.
I think every time we talk budget and bring the department heads in, we usually ask them, what about your staffing? How are you doing? Do you need more? What do you need? We usually talk about it. But like I said, it goes back to the money issue. We can't pay for three people right away. I mean, except we found the way to do it this time, but... 10 years ago, 5 years ago, we couldn't do that because we didn't have that option or weren't aware of it.
Correct.
And we're discussing other options that we can have for that to happen. But it's all that takes time. And again, when we get the feasibility study in, we've been waiting on, again, no fault to anybody at this table, administration or council. When it's done, it's done. We're at their mercy. When we finally get the feasibility, we'll know what we're looking at, what the recommendation is and what's going to take. to not just bring that building up to par, but to actually expand it. So that's coming, and we know that's coming, and we have to have a means of funding that. And I don't think we can do that if the half percent doesn't pass the next time. That's just my personal opinion, just crunching numbers. I don't think we could do it if it doesn't pass again. So putting the half percent in jeopardy by not doing with it what we told the people is not wise. And I would never be in favor of it. So we have to figure out solutions that actually will work. And the people of Salina, we answer to not just the employees of Salina. We don't just work for or try to just maintain what we have as employees, but we represent the city of Salina and every single citizen. So I think it's important that, you know, that's what we have to do. And anyways, that's my part of that. Anybody else got any thoughts?
No, just that, yeah, I just want to echo what you're saying. We want to know all the needs, like Myron was saying, we want to know all the needs of the department so we can help fulfill them. But when it comes to, you know, we needed help from the county to really add EMT. We needed that help because we just didn't know how we were going to be able to support that. And so when this EMS, because if that failed, I don't know if we would be having this same conversation, because we would be hurting for ways to come up for hiring the needed personnel. So the county stepped up. So the county has come forward. The people of the county that our services support stepped up and said, yes, we would like to support the EMS ballot initiative this past November. So yeah. Now we have, and we're trying to take everything that we can, but we can only go once, because once this budget is in place, all that money's accounted for this year. And so we have to look at next year to be able to do some things. And thankful for Auditor Shin here to find a way to make that happen, that we're going to be able to put some people on here. But I have to say, since COVID, we never heard about people leaving. I mean, this is all something that's happened after COVID. I mean, we just never heard about it. Why COVID triggered all of a sudden people leaving. I don't know. They didn't want to do the work anymore. I don't know what triggered it. So what created the, you know, a lot of people just to go where the grass is greener, I guess. They didn't like the department. They didn't like the wages. They didn't like, so we're trying to adjust all that stuff to make it attractive for not only lateral transfers, but got new people coming out of schools. But it doesn't help that we have a social media out there that tears down everything that the city does. And then people look at that and they say, well, is that how we're, you know, so we got that image as well. We're also trying to confront that, because.
And I don't disagree with you, and I sympathize with that position. But again, like, it all comes back to how can we retain employees? And I feel like, again, that's where we dropped the ball. And, you know, maybe you guys didn't know that there was a staffing need. Like, maybe you guys really didn't. And I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I don't really care.
Right.
Because if there is that big of a communication gap between us, administration, and council, then I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
But I can promise you, from our side of the table, especially during negotiations, to what we need, I can promise you that staffing was brought up several times, and nothing ever came of it. So if you guys were never aware of that, again, I'm sorry. But I'm going to bring it to your attention now that that's what needs to happen.
And I would be one who would sit down with you and talk. If you got any ideas or solutions, I'd be more than happy to sit down and talk with you anytime. Would love to. Because I'm all ears on that one, and I'm sure there's others at this table that are all ears. If you have some creative ideas and ways that we could, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd be more than willing to sit down.
So, sure, absolutely. Okay. Appreciate that. So, yeah. Anybody else got any comments? Or do appreciate you bringing these things to our attention. And again, we certainly do sympathize with the fire department and police department and the staffing levels. And we do want to fix these things. We do. But it just takes time. And there are some solutions that have been offered that just can't work or won't work. But we got to find the ones that will.
Okay. Yeah, we'll look forward to getting.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Thanks, Corey.
What's your last name?
Agler, A-G-L-E-R.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, then we'll move on to old business items and second reading. All three of them, Mr. Law Director.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first of those three is Ordinance 64-24-0, an ordinance to make appropriations for expenses and other expenditures of the City of Salina, State of Ohio, during the calendar year ending December 31, 2025, and to declare an emergency.
Any comments or motions? Mr. Fleck.
If there's no comments, I pass it to third.
Okay, motion made. Clausen, sorry.
I'll second that. Yeah.
For passage of third reading.
Fleck.
Yes.
Baltzell.
Yes.
Clausen.
Yes.
Gray.
Yes.
Sanford.
Yes.
Buxton.
Yes.
Wolf.
Yes.
Ordinance passes third reading. 7-0 was the roll call. Move on to the second one, Mr. Law Director.
Thank you, Mr. President. That is Ordinance 65-24-0, an ordinance authorizing the Safety Service Director to advertise for bids and to enter into contracts for city projects and capital equipment for fiscal year 2025.
Again, comments or motions from council? Mr. Clausen?
Yeah, this is obviously to support the projects that are upcoming here in 2025. We talked about this at the previous meeting, and I'd like to make a motion that we pass the third.
Second. Okay. Mr. Gray?
Second.
Mr. Wolf, did you have a comment or not?
No.
Okay.
Clausen?
Yes.
Baltzell?
Yes.
Gray?
Yes.
Wolf?
Yes.
Sanford?
Yes.
Buxton?
Yes.
Fleck.
Yes.
Ordinance passes the third reading 7-0 with the roll call, and we'll move on to our last item, Mr. Law Director.
Thank you, Mr. President. That is Ordinance 66-24-0, an ordinance authorizing the Safety Service Director to advertise for bids and to enter into contracts for certain materials, services, supplies, and equipment needed during 2025.
Motions from Council.
Make a motion to pass it to third.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. I get a second. Mr. Buxton, thank Sorry. You.
Sanford?
Yes.
Buxton?
Yes.
Fleck?
Yes.
Wolf?
Yes.
Gray?
Yes.
Baltzell?
Yes.
Clausen?
Yes.
It also passes to third reading 7-0. Anything else administration would like to address real quick? Any scheduling or anything? Are we good?
I think we're good for next next Monday will be, I guess, our final meeting of the year that will resolve some of the accounts. We're hoping to have the Public Works bid in that we'll be able to award that by the next meeting. So that'll be within this year's budget, I guess I would say, is going forward. And I appreciate Mr. Agler coming up here. He did move on to another department. And I think I've told several of you there's been renderings for the fire department itself for a number of years to rebuild, and probably going back decades. I think even back when Craig Klopflesh was mayor, there was a rendering over there. I'm not aware there was actually ever done a feasibility, but the feasibility has to take into account not just current staffing, but what it looks like in the future. We felt like this was a very important move, that we didn't just react, but We have consistent communication with the fire department, not necessarily sitting down with all the members since they have three different shifts, but we do continue to go back. But in a little bit of the involvement that I had with negotiations this year, staffing wasn't brought up from there. They had some different plans for what they wanted to do with the fire department, but then that's kind of changed a couple of different times. So the only item that we looked at, I think, during budget, I think Councilman Baltzell asked about it when the chief had said, can I have an assistant fire chief? But we needed to land on getting these other people hired first to be able to go back to that. Certainly it's a possibility, but again, it does go down to how much the 0.5% can displace of the 1% to know what we can do for wages. The 40 years of great history and service that have retired out, those folks were also the ones that typically were always on the callbacks. So when there was another ambulatory run, they were coming up to the station. Many of the newer hires are wanting to spend, and I understand they want to spend more time with their family and have a life outside. So there's less willingness to come for those callbacks, but we've got great guys over there. But a lot of the folks that have retired and a few getting ready to go out are the ones doing majority of those callbacks. So that does make a little bit of a challenge, because there is a change in the dynamic, and I think that we are trying to work on it. But, you know, if we were proactive, we'd go out and ask the public for additional tax money, because we think it's going to happen in 5 years, but it doesn't really work that way. We have to look at those very specific needs, and because EMS is a county program, we're contracted with a county, and we need to work closely with the county to find out how we can best serve the community and be able to fund these positions. So, and again, we are the only full-time department in the county. So.
It's great.
Going with what Corey said about the heat over there, though, obviously we've got space heaters over there now, and we're waiting on quotes to come back in. Is there anything we can do for them now?
The purchase order has been cut for Ray's to go in to deal with the heat. This only came up about 3 weeks ago, roughly, to me, where they were trying to get the apples to apples between they were getting bids, so they got it done. I wasn't aware they had any problems before that. I don't think Tom was either when they came, but we've always helped to assist them. But yeah. I do understand what he was saying, that Lake Contracting has come in. They've turned the boiler on. There's some pretty significant leaks, as I understand what I've just found out. But they turn it on to heat it up, and then they turn it back off so the guys go. I mean, I feel for them. This should have been fixed a while ago, but we did not know about this. So we have reacted. They've got the purchase order. Ray's has it, and they should be in there fixing it this week.
Okay, so they are fixing it this week. Okay, I'd heard about it this weekend, and I was also told that it was being quoted out, or it was.
It did get quoted.
That's why I didn't bring it up.
We did the border control, and so it's been issued.
Okay, thank you.
All right, nothing else then. We'll just go ahead and adjourn at 7:36 p.m., and we'll see everybody next week.